Hi, I'm Dr. Michael Wesley, Senior Pastor of Greater Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church. Our mission is to reach, teach, and baptize throughout the world, beginning in our community, fulfilling the Great Commission by the power and presence of the Holy Spirit until Jesus returns. That simply means we're here to reach irreligious people and turn them into lifelong devoted followers of Jesus, equip them for a place of service in the church, and send them out on a mission for Christ in the world. We're glad you're with us today. I command blessings on you and your family today.
When they're doing good things, but can you appreciate him for just being the Lord of glory? Earlier when I was making announcements, I failed to mention that Deacon Sherman Pearson's mother passed away, and she's going to be funeralized tomorrow in a graveside service at the Highland Memorial Gardens in Bessemer. And Sherman Williams, we're lifting him in our prayers and all of his family as we think of him and others who are going through. Faith Chapel is directing that service. Viewing will be made available this afternoon for those that may want to visit with the family there. I want to invite you to pray now as we prepare our hearts for the word for the morning. Father, we thank you for the blessing that you've given us. Thank you for the storied history. Thank you for the present generation and for all of the wonderful things that you have done, you are doing, and that you are yet going to do. We thank you for the privilege we have to gather on this occasion. So many have anticipated and looked forward to such a day. God, you have been more than faithful. You have been terrific in all of your doings as you are. Lift again now your human outer self. Fill us with the Holy Spirit. Speak to us, Lord, in this moment of sharing. And bless the words that are now in our mouth and the meditations that are on our heart, that it may be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Speak, Lord, your servants are listening. We ask it now in the name of your Son, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank God. I believe I've been led by the Holy Spirit to a scripture passage for the morning that captures the essence of this historic occasion, 130 years of church history and witness in the Birmingham community. The passage is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16. The familiar verses are verse 16 through 19. I want to read in your hearing. The Word of God says, "And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Here's the text. "And I say unto you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." This is the word of God for the people of God. I want to focus the sermonic spotlight at 18th verse, and I want to preach from this subject. I will build my church. Those are Jesus' words. A lot of people have built a lot of things, but only Jesus can build his church. And I want you to know that for all of the years that the Lord has blessed us to be here and to be a part, we have rejected the gimmicks and the games to draw people, but to simply move out of his way so that he could build his church. The Bible is very clear that except the Lord build the house, they that build it labor but in vain. And except the Lord keep the city, they that watch but in vain. And so it has been my goal, and it is still my great desire, that whenever these physical days of my flesh is done and my time here is up, I don't want to look back and try to figure out, did I do it? I want to be fully assured that the Lord built his house, built not only his structure, but build his church. And I think that's what is evident in the passage. This passage has to be one of the most hopeful passages in the New Testament. And when you understand what was going on with the followers of Jesus, you would experience their hope in what has happened over the years. not just here and not just for me, but for many who have led congregations and who have struggled to try to see to it that the Lord's name was honored, the passage becomes hopeful. You would know that by this time in the earthly ministry of the Christ, that many of the Jewish people had rejected Jesus. And therefore, they had rejected his disciples. And even these men themselves were in a very distressing kind of mindset. Things were not quite turning out the way that they had hoped that it would be. What started out with so much promise and with so much brightness as the Master came around the Sea of Galilee and called each one to come follow me, and I'll make you to become fishers of men. It looked like an exciting adventure. And in their course of following him, they had all come to the conclusion that Peter announces in this 16th verse, that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Through their being with him as he taught them and witnessing his miracles and listening to his words and looking at his mannerism, they all had become convinced that you're it, you're the one, you're the Messiah. We believe you're him. But they were the only ones who had embraced that. Because the Jewish leaders at this time, and it was clear to the disciples that they had refused to accept Jesus' claim. And by now, many wanted him dead. And it would not be long, as a matter of fact, later on in this passage, where Jesus himself would announce to these men that the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, be killed, but the third day rise again. So he needed to speak these words to flame the smoldering, rapidly declining hope that was in their hearts. And he makes a startling promise, a promise that is certain. He says, I will build my church. My brothers and sisters, I need you to hear me this morning. That is a promise from a promise maker and a promise keeper. And you cannot take the futuristic context of his phraseology, I will build my church, to imply that he has not already been doing it. He's been doing it. He is doing it, and he will continue to do it until it is complete. And that produced hope in them, and I can imagine for the many pastors over the years who have become frustrated and who have become disappointed because things are not going the way that they had hoped or had believed, that the assurance of Jesus that I will build my church, how that has to bring to life excitement and encouragement into the hearts of those who labor in the Master's vineyard. I shall never forget myself when I drove up one day at the old church and I was sitting in the parking lot. And I looked at the building there, And I burst out and started laughing because it dawned on me that this is not your church. And because I realized that it was not my church, that I wasn't responsible for providing for it, that someone greater than me would have to provide for its needs and for its people. And I just rejoiced and felt encouraged that I could run on a little further to see what the end would be. See, what Jesus is saying to these disciples is things are not always what they seem. And even though you might not be able to detect or to see what I'm doing, you can be sure that I'm still at work. Oh, how many know that's the truth? It was Jesus who said later to John out on the Isle of Patmos, he said, you write this letter to the church of Smyrna, and you tell them that I know things are not what they seem. You are rich, he told that church. You are rich, but you look poor. I want you to understand, it may not be what it looks like, but you got to know who you are. And you got to know what I'm doing, that in spite of how it looked, this is what you need to know. He told the church of Laodicea too. He said that I need you to understand, you have left your first love. Even though they looked like they were in love with the church, they had already left it. Things are not what they seem. And may I help you this morning, because somebody needs to be encouraged to understand that even in your own life, just because it looks rough right now doesn't mean that it's necessarily going to remain rough. And just because there may be tears in your eyes or circumstance that may break your heart does not mean that's how it's going to remain, because the Lord is still at work. And as long as the Lord is at work, you got a chance, because he's not through with you yet. Anybody heard that old song? Be patient with me. God is not through with me yet. When God gets through with me, then I shall come forth as pure gold. I'm just under construction right now. Oh, Lord, y'all can't see it. There are people passing by this building every day, and they see a fresh bulldozer out there, and they can't see what's happening. But the Lord is still building his church. Let me help you see what I want you to understand today. There are five, six things in the text for the morning that are elements that are available when the Lord is building his church. Characteristics that manifest themselves when the Lord is building his church. And the first of these is the certainty of it. The certainty of him building his church. Now, you got to know this text is so pregnant with possibilities that we can't exhaust it all. But I'm reminded of Paul, the Apostle Paul, when he was describing his ministry in the book of Titus. In the book of Titus, in Titus chapter 1, Paul is talking about the threefold ministry that he has. He speaks of an evangelistic thrust that his ministry has. And then he speaks of a discipleship ministry, where once people have been converted through the preaching of the gospel, then they are to go on to sanctification, that is, to maturity through growth. And then he talks about the real reason behind it is because of the promise that Christ has made to redeem a people unto himself. And it was a promise, Paul says, that was made before time began. Yes, sir. Now listen to me carefully, because this helps you to see the certainty of it. There was a promise made before human beings were even thought of. Yeah. in the eons of time that God so loved his son that he would give his son a redeemed people. And you do know that when Jesus came to the earth, in that high priestly prayer that he prays in John chapter 17, he said, "Father, glorify me now with the glory that I had with you before the world began. And these that you have given to me, that none should be lost, and that they may be with me in the place where you have promised me that they could be with me and you in glory forever." So that was a promise made before time began that there would be a redeemed people. And so when Jesus came to the earth, he had to fulfill his part. And his part meant he would have to go to the cross to pay the debt so that he could receive from the Father the redeemed people that the Father had promised that he could have. And then when you read in the book of Revelation, in Paul's book, 1 Corinthians in the 15th chapter, to be honest with you, and also in the book of Revelation, you will see what Jesus is going to do once he has received the redeemed people. He's going to give them back to God as an appreciation for God giving them to him. So he said to the people when he was on the earth, John chapter 6, "I have come down from heaven to do my Father's what? Will." And so the certainty of him building his church started way back then and is going on now, and it will continue to go on, and nothing or nobody will be able to stop him from building his church. Are you following me? I know I'm trying to make it simple because we've got a lot of things going on this morning. But that's the first thing I want you to see, the characteristic of the church that Jesus built. You know, Aretha Franklin used to sing a song. She said, "This is the house that Jack built." And she described the house, and she said, "Jack built this room, and Jack built this kitchen," but she said, "but I don't have Jack." Which meant it meant nothing. You know, no matter how fabulous it is without Jack, the house doesn't mean anything. And so I want to tell you, it doesn't matter how fabulous the building is without Christ. All you have is a building. People can build buildings, and folk build buildings all kind of things, all kind of ways. And what was once something can become something else in a little while. If we ain't careful, if we don't keep it right, this could be a great bingo hall. But that'll be somebody else doing. That won't be Jesus doing it. Because what he built it for, he intended for it to be, for what he wanted to be. Are you listening? Not only is there a certainty to the building of the church because Jesus is building it, but secondly, there is an intimacy to the building of the church. Listen to what he says. He said, "Upon this rock, I will build" what? Whose church? My church. It's personal. It's intimate. The members, the people, are personal to him because they belong to who? They belong to him. Isn't that how he talked in John chapter 10? He said, "My sheep know my voice, and a stranger's voice they will not follow." And you hear it all throughout the passage as Jesus talk about I am the bread of life, I am the water, I am the light, I am. And what he's meaning is that the connection between Me and those that come are personal. He says, I know your name, doesn't he say it? I keep up with you. The very numbers of the hairs on your head are all numbers. So this morning, he was recalculating, wasn't he? When you were combing your hair and pulling the strings out your brush, the Lord was already refiguring because he knows you. He knows your uprising, and he knows your down sitting. He knows your thoughts are far off. There's not a word in your mouth that the Lord doesn't know altogether. Not one sparrow can fall from the sky that your heavenly Father doesn't know about. So he keeps up with you. My church. He's talking here. He's talking about the intimate connection between those who come into his church. And thirdly, he lays out the identity of the church. He says, and because you got to understand, when Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, that was the first time in the New Testament that the word church was even used. And so you got to understand what would have been the understanding of the disciples when Jesus said, I will build my church. They wouldn't know nothing about a building such as this. They had never seen a steeple. They didn't have crosses hanging. There was no such a place in the same context as what you and I would understand. As a matter of fact, if Jesus had been using the everyday language, which he would have been speaking in Aramaic, he would have said, I will build my ahak. And ahak is the Hebrew word or the Aramaic word, which means my assembly, my congregation, my crowd, my group. And so he wasn't talking about building a physical structure. He was talking about, I will build my people. I will build my congregation. I will build my community. I will build my crowd. And so the question today is, whose crowd are you in? Are you just in the crowd? Or are you in his crowd? Are you just a sheep? Or are you his sheep? Are you a goat? Or are you a sheep? If you belong to the Lord, then the Lord knows who you are. And you know who he is. Because if you know his voice, then you know that he's your shepherd. And Janelle used to sing a song years ago when she was a young child. She said, if you say I am your shepherd, then why aren't you following me? That's the word today for you today. You need to understand. Yes, you can be in the building, but are you following the shepherd? Are you following him? Are you humble? Are you obedient? Are you a lamb? Are you a sheep that the Lord knows? You know, that's why even in the Old Testament, and I talked about it a week ago, that the Lord said, if my people, which are called by who? My name, would do what? Humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I would hear in heaven and will heal their land, forgive their sin. God has already told us what to do. Isn't that what Jesus said himself? He said, if you're my sheep, you can ask anything in my name. Huh? You don't have to be afraid. You can come boldly to the throne. And you can find grace and you can find help in the time of your need. So the question is, are you a sheep? See, if you're in the church, you don't have to worry. You shouldn't have your head down. Your head should be up. Your heart should be inflamed. You should be encouraged. And that's why this word is so hopeful. Listen what he says. I will build my church, my crowd, my assembly. Even those who would later understand Greek, when they would understand the word ecclesia, mean the called out or the assembly of God. And it was never in the context of building. It was always in the context of being a people. So when the Lord is building, he's building a people. Are you following me? So the first characteristic is Satan. The building of his church is Satan. The intimacy of it, my people, my church. And church, he's talking about my congregation, those who know my name and know my voice and follow me. But then he helps us to understand a fourth characteristic that's inherent in when he's building the church. That is a foundation. And he looked at Peter, you know, these boys were on the coast of Caesarea Philippi. You got to understand that they were there because of the rejection of the Jews and out of fear of their lives. You got to understand that they were at the northernmost border of the land of Israel, far away from Jerusalem and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious leaders, up near where there would be Gentile persons living so that they would not be exposed to danger. And there along that road, Jesus had posed a question. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they began to spew up and regurgitate the answers of the popular people. Some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah. And some say you're one of those prophets, Jeremiah, one of those other prophets. And Jesus looked at them in the face and he said, but who do you say? You've had a different relationship with me. You've been with me when I'm away from the crowd. You've been with me in private. You've been with me early in the morning. You've been with me late at night. You've seen what I can do to funerals, and you've seen what I can do, how I can create hospitals, and you know I can turn death chambers into living waters. You know, who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? And Peter raised his hand. He said, we know. I got this one. He said, I mess up a lot of time, but this one I got. He said, you are the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, you know what? Flesh and blood didn't get revealed that to you. You didn't get that from the gossip column. You didn't get that from the grapevine. You didn't get that from what they're talking about in places where they ought not be talking about me. You got that directly from my Father, which is in heaven. And thou art Peter. And upon this rock, I will build my church. I mean, listen to me today, because there's confusion over the meaning of that. No, you do know that the Roman Catholic Church declares that in its literature that Jesus was affirming Peter's popeship, that Peter was the first pope. And because the Lord said, you are Peter, and upon this rock, then he was given to Peter the authority, and all of the successors of Peter are now called popes. and bishops of Rome. But that's wrong, because Peter can't sustain this. Peter can't dry my tears. Peter can't visit me in the midnight hour. Peter can't pick me up when I'm falling down. Peter can't mend my broken heart. Peter can't come get my child out of trouble when my child is in trouble. Peter can't comfort me when I'm saying goodbye to loved ones. Only Jesus. So he could not have been talking about Peter. The foundation being, no, it wasn't on Peter. There are some in Protestant circles who are saying that, well, Pastor, it was a play on words, because Peter's name means rock. It's the Greek word Petra. And Jesus was saying, thou art Petra, and upon Petra I will build my church. You know, using the other word for rock. No, that wasn't it either. What I really believe it was, he said, thou art Peter. Yes, you are foundational. And the revelation that you have declared is the foundation upon which my church will be built. Upon this foundation of the fact that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. No, I wasn't just a good man. No, I wasn't just somebody from Galilee. No, I wasn't just somebody who was Mary's baby. I was more than Mary's baby. Before I was Mary's baby, I was already God's son. And when I was God's son, rocking in the bosom of the Father, before there was a when or where, or then or there, I am that I am. And when somebody comes to know who I am, then that becomes the foundation upon which I will build my church. When people, preachers past, preachers present, and preachers future declare that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, they are laying down the foundational truth upon which this assembly, the people, the crowd, the gathering of God is built. Are you listening? Upon this rock, upon this revelation is what it is. That is the foundation upon which I will build my church. And then not only is the church certain to be built, and not only is it an intimate relationship with the Lord, my church, not only is it identified as the assembly, the people, the crowd of God, and not only is the foundation based upon the revelation of who Jesus is, but I want you to know the church is invincible. Can't be stopped. Can't be stopped. And you have to do is think about it. Upon this rock, he said, I will build what? My church and the gates of hell cannot, shall not, will not prevail against it. Now let me help you. Because gates of hell are not weapons, and it's really gates of Hades. Gates are never weapons. You don't see an army come charging, carrying the gates. So gates are not what you got to be worried about. Gates are used for what purpose? Gates are used to enclose, to keep in. And Jesus is saying that not even the gates of hell can keep in the church. You can't fence it in. You can't rope it in. You can't barrier it in. You can't fence it in. You can't stop it. And you do know that's exactly what Satan wants to do. He wants to keep the church from receiving. See that special people that we talked about earlier, that was promised to Jesus, that redeemed people. You know what ultimately is going to happen with those redeemed people? Jesus is going to take them with him to the Father's house. And there they're going to glorify the Father forever and ever. And the Father wants them to also glorify who? The Son. Forever and ever. But Satan don't want them to glorify the Father or the Son. So what he wants to do is to keep them gated in so that they cannot receive the crown of life and cannot therefore praise God forever and ever. Let me come a little closer, because I don't think you understand what I'm saying. Satan get upset when you start praising God. He can't stand it when you sang one of those old hymns. He can't stand it when you lift up your hand and you bless the name of the Lord, because you're giving God glory. And no matter what he tries to do, he can't stop you. When they took Jesus out on Calvary, and the Father had to turn his face away from the Son, and the Son dropped his head in the locks of his shoulders and said, "Father, into thy hand I commit my spirit." And Jesus dropped his head and he died. Well, Satan was happy because he knew that he had held everybody in the gates of Hades, in the gates of death. And he thought he had Jesus, and he had him for a while. He had him all day Friday. He had him all day Saturday. But early Sunday morning, even the gates of hell could not hold him, because he got up. And when he got up, he said, "Now all power in heaven and earth is in my hand, and I got the keys to unlock death, hell, and the grave. And so I'm going to raise up all of those that the Father has given me in that last day, so that one day we'll all be in glory where we can praise God. And the very gates of hell will not be able to prevail." Now, let me help you understand. Hell is really the word Hades. And Hades was always the word for death. Sheol, the grave. And Jesus is saying that not even death can stop the church. You think about all of the folk that's been a part of just this assembly. We're celebrating today 130 years. It started May 3rd, 1891, just 27 years on the other side of slavery. The first pastor himself had been a former slave. Yes, death gripped him one day, but death couldn't stop the church. Oh, I need somebody to hear me today. You think about all of those who have lined the aisles, those who have sung in the choir, those who have been on the usher board, those who have been deacons, those who have been preachers. Yes, many have fallen asleep, but God continues to build his church, because not even death can stop Jesus from building his church. Are you hearing me this morning? And not so the church is invincible. That is, nothing can stop it. From the day Christ came out of the baptismal pool and began to announce, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel. He has sent me to heal the broken heart. He has sent me to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." The church has been growing. There have been a lot of devils. There's been a lot of demons There's been a lot of devilish people. There's been a lot of hellish people. There's been a lot of hateful circumstances. But nothing or no one has been able to stop the invincibility of the church of Jesus Christ from marching on. I got to tell you one more thing. Time's up, but I got to tell you at least one more. Not only is the certainty, not only is the intimacy, and not only is the identity, and not only is the foundation, and not only is the invincibility of the church, but then there is the authority of the church. Listen to what Jesus said. He said, and thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I say unto you, you know, he said, I've given you the keys, and whatsoever things you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever things you loose on earth shall be what? Loosed in heaven. In other words, I am giving you some authority. And that authority is to open the doors of the church and let folk in, or close the doors and keep people out. Are you hearing me? When we open the doors, we let people in who affirm that I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That person is welcome. When a person says, I don't believe Jesus is the Christ, and I don't believe in heaven, then that person is what? Not welcome. Because that person does not know who Jesus is, and he's none of his. And so Jesus is saying, whatever things you agree with, that's agreed with in heaven, is bound on earth. And whatever things you agree with or disagree with, that the Father in heaven agrees, disagrees with, is also loosed on the earth. So when things happen on earth, come on, don't look at me funny, because that's what Jesus taught you in the model prayer. Thy will be done, where? On earth, where? As it is in heaven. So the binding and the loosing is the agreement that we have as gatekeepers, because that's who I am. I'm just a gatekeeper. I'm the under shepherd, but I'm a gatekeeper. Are you following that? I'm just a gatekeeper, and I'm getting ready to open the gate, getting ready to open the doors, getting ready to let somebody else come in who may believe that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. The doors of the church, what? Are open. And the doors of the church will be open for a little while longer. But one day, the doors of the church are going to close, because the Lord himself is going to descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then those of us who are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord in the air. You need to know who you are. You are somebody. You belong to somebody. You are invincible, even though you're not invisible. Even though the devil sees you, knows where you are, he still can't touch you. Did you not hear what Jesus said? Simon, oh Simon, Satan desires to have you and to sift you as wheat. But don't you worry, I have prayed for you. And when you are strengthened, I want you to strengthen your brother. Oh, my brothers and sisters, I don't care what storms may rise. I don't care what winds may blow. I don't care what hellhound may bark. You are somebody. You belong to Christ. And it's on Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All of the ground is
sinking sand. I'm glad. Glad. The church that I will build. Not me, but the church that Christ builds is certain, it's intimate, it's identified as the congregation, the people of God, it's foundational, it's invincible, and it has the authority to loose and to bind and to let people in and to keep people out. And my brothers and sisters, know who you are and carry out for the next 130 years the continued work of the Lord Jesus Christ as he continues to there'll be one today who will come. You could come today by letter. That is, you've been a member of a previous church and you'd like to change church. You can come as a candidate for baptism. That is, you believe the word and now you want to identify with the people of God by receiving water baptism. You can come on your own Christian experience. Whatever your need is, whatever it is, God have your way. Anybody want God to have his way? Have your way, God, have your way. Have your way. Have your way in my life. Have your way in the church. Have your way. Have your way. Anytime during the song, doors open. You home? Call the membership line. Someone will hear. Need prayer? Someone will pray with you. We would love to serve you.
In this house today, oh Lord, we know you will somehow heal the broken heart.
We know you will.
Set the captives free.
Just this building, and I hope you got it as you were singing. It's your life, it's your heart. Whatever you want to do, Lord, in this house, in my heart, in my life, have your way.
Friends, this is Michael Wesley, senior pastor of Greater Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church in Birmingham, Alabama. We really appreciate all of the love and support that you have shown to us through these broadcasts. We've been hearing from people and our friends all over, and we want you to pray about being a supporter and a prayer partner and a supporter of this television ministry. If you believe the Holy Spirit has ministered the Word of God to you and you'd like to see this ministry continue and to share it with your friends, please consider being a supporter. Follow the prompts on the screen. We would love to hear from you.